Shut up! I'm listening to Zdenek's English Podcast. You're listening to Zdenek's English Podcast, by far the greatest English podcast on earth for English learners since sliced bread. My name is Zdenek, and I'm your host. Hi everyone, welcome back to Zdenek's English Podcast. Welcome back to the Teacher Zdenek YouTube channel as well. And today I am joined by Lucas. Hi, Lucas. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing fine. I was tired, but I took a nap, so I'm feeling much better now. So thank you. And yeah, I'm glad to be here.
I can relate to the nap. I did exactly the same, Lucas.
Yeah, I know it.
So we should be at full strength and ready to rumble. So I thought we could start off with a fact of the day, Lucas. You know what's the fact of the day?
You tell me.
Your first name is the same as my surname, because my name is Zdenek Lucas, and your first name is Lucas, exactly the same as mine.
That's right, yeah. But it's common in our region when we come from, right? It's a Czechoslovakia. It was Czechoslovakia back in the day, but nowadays we are two states separated from each other, but still in a good brotherhood, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. It's getting worse now, but let's not go.
On the news.
Of course. Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
No, I don't wanna veer off into politics. So no.
No, that's not the plan for today. I've done enough of this on this podcast, and today I want to dedicate this episode to you, to your journey of learning English, because I think it's quite inspiring and fascinating. And I have known you for a while, so I know what to expect from you as well in terms of your English. So, and you're an ideal host. I'm the host, guest. you could be an ideal host as well, you know.
I'm a host in your Discord group. So I'm hosting an event called Speaking Club,
To be honest, it's on agenda. We will definitely touch upon that. But first things first, I thought we should clarify. You've already mentioned it, Czechoslovakia. Yeah, so I don't think it will be a surprise to anyone if we tell you guys that Lucas is from Slovakia while I am from the Czech Republic. You see, Czech, Slovak, you're Slovak, I'm Czech. This country, we used to be one country, Czechoslovakia, as you said. But something happened and we split up. Our country separated. It was in 1993 and we became Czechoslovakia and Slovakia Slovak Republic. Which one do you prefer?
Well, I think the original name is the Slovak Republic, but also we can identify it as Slovakia as well.
Exactly. Well, this is getting confusing because while you could be called Slovak Republic and Slovakia, we are now also Czechia for some reason. So we used to be only the Czech Republic, but now I don't know when it happened. Several years ago, 5-6 years ago, our politicians decided that it would be a good idea to change the name of the country for some reason. So now we are also Czechia. So a lot of names for our countries, but we both know where we are from. We are neighbors, of course. Slovakia is east of the Czech Republic, and the Czech Republic is west of Slovakia.
That's right. Yeah, that's very precise. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I was born in Plzeň, which is near Prague, and I spent my first three years of my childhood in Čestice, I guess it is. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say I spent first years of my childhood drinking Pilsen, but no.
No. But I was Czech once. Yeah, then we moved to Slovakia because my both parents are Slovak, so they wanted to get back home.
Yeah, So you are not really a fake Slovak. You are Slovak. You just happened to be born in the Czech Republic.
That's right. Yeah. I don't have your citizenship and anything like that. I was just born there, and yeah, that's the end of the story.
That's the end of the story. And your first language is Slovak, right?
Definitely, yes. But
it was
because my first words, instead of saying mom and dad, was, for instance, ja hrajem. In English it would be I'm playing or I play, right? So my first words in the Czech language was ja hrajem or something like that, you know. So it doesn't really matter, but you know.
Yeah, well, that's nice. That would be a great story for a gamer, but I know you are not one, so that's interesting. Why? Yeah, probably you're very playful, probably, or something, right?
I was probably, yeah.
Not anymore. You used to be.
I used to be. No, I'm, you know, I am doing sports, yeah, but that's like individual sports that I'm doing, you know. So it's not a collective sport. So we do not play. We do sports. We don't play sports. Personally speaking.
What sort of sports are you into then?
Well, as I mentioned before on your, it wasn't a podcast, but it was your YouTube channel that my face occurred first or appeared first.
Yeah.
So we were talking about mixed martial arts. So I got involved into boxing and kickboxing. But when I was much younger, I used to swim a lot. I was a swimmer as well. Yeah,
that's a nice combo. And it's better to be on friendly terms with you, I think, now. And now knowing this, you know, it's better to be friends with you, you know, because you never know.
You're teasing me. But no, I'm a nice guy. No, I'm not.
I didn't even start talking about your beard. Don't let me get started on that.
Well, it's getting longer, yeah, for some reason, yeah, but
yeah,
it is what it is, and yeah, probably I will maintain. I mean, I'm trying to maintain it as much as possible, but it's getting longer.
And do you trim it yourself, or do you have it trimmed?
No, I trim by myself because it's a very precious thing that I'm proud of.
You talk about it as if it was the ring of from the Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah, no, but you know, I'm very sensitive about my beard when it comes to trimming it, you know, and maintaining it. So I do it by myself because I know what to do and how to do it. And if I make a mistake, that's my problem, not the barber's problem.
Right? So the only person you can be mad at is yourself, right?
That's right, yeah.
It's reassuring, of course. Yeah, we had to mention your beard. It wouldn't. Yeah, we have to, because it's a big part of your personality. I'm really sorry to those of you who are only listening to this, because you are really missing out right now. you can't see Lucas's beard. It's a sight to behold.
Well, okay. I don't think it is something to write home about, but yeah, it's here, and yeah, I'm having it.
It's great. I envy you because my beard doesn't grow like that. So you told me once that it would if I was more patient, but I still don't believe you.
I think you would be there, I guess. But it takes time, right? It takes time. And I saw your beard. You were having a beard a couple of years ago. I remember that from one of your videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
You're wearing a nice beard, by the way, so it was nice. Yeah,
yeah.
You can pull it off, I guess.
I don't know if it was like several months. I guess I don't think I've ever gone like half a year without shaving. I can't remember that. But yeah, this is just an Easter egg, to be honest. Recently, Luke's English podcast has done an episode about beards. We have had an event about beards, which was kind of based on that as well, that Luke's English podcast episode. So why not mention it in this one as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. So as you said, Lukas, you have appeared on my YouTube channel, which I thought I would also mention. So I think we've done two videos together. These mm-hmm. were live. This one isn't live. Yeah, this is for the podcast, so we are recording it. It can always be edited out. If for some reason we decide that we say something inappropriate or whatever, I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, there's always the possibility to take it out, whereas with the lives you can't. And so one was about, as you said, martial arts, and the other one was, I think, about learning or teaching English,
mm-hmm.
which is yeah. one of the topics that I need to talk to you about today, because we need to learn how you got to love this beautiful language we call English, because I think, yeah, you have your story, as most people do, and your English is excellent, in my opinion, very high, super high level. And tell us, how can one get where you are?
Hi, my name is Zuleika, and I'm from Kyrgyzstan. I like the Chivas Chamber because I can be surrounded by like-minded and motivated people from all over the world.
Tell us, how can one get where you are?
First of all, I have to thank you that you appreciate my English. And I don't think that my story is very exciting, but it all started when I was very young. I had my first exposure to English when I attended kindergarten. You know, it was like in the early 90s.
Can I just, quick question. You didn't have this beard back then, did you?
No, and I didn't expect to have this one. So it was... I didn't expect anything, to be honest. I was 5 years old, probably 6 years old, and you know, I couldn't care less. The only thing I really cared about was which toy I was going to grab, you know.
Of course.
That yeah. my only concern, not the English, but there was a teacher trying to teach us something like a basic vocabulary, like an apple, an orange, mm-hmm. some colors. And I wasn't good at it, to be honest. I wasn't interested in English,
yeah.
But I was five years old or 6 years old.
Yeah.
But then I started attending an English course when I was around 8 years old for pupils when I was in primary school. And it was also in the 90s. And by the time I reached fifth grade in primary school, I began having regular English classes at school. And what was good about those classes, that we dealt a lot with grammar. That was like a good side of it, but downside of it, that we didn't speak much.
Yeah.
And I was bad at listening to English. I was just terrible, I would say. Maybe I'm underestimating myself right now, but I didn't feel it. You know what I mean? Like, it was...
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is interesting because you say you're mentioning grammar, and we have recently spoken on this podcast to Hugh Deller, and he's someone who absolutely is against this approach. So mm-hmm. unfortunately, in the 90s, this is how it was in our countries, and I'm afraid in some parts of our countries, it still is happening. Yeah, and definitely in other parts of the world. Yeah.
But to be honest, we have to admit that grammar is a huge part of English, right? It is just there in your language, in my language, there is grammar or a grammar, right? So we just can't omit it, right? It's there. Even though my probably speaking is more valuable, right? I can get it because that's my goal, to speak as much as I can and to somehow act to okay, what I want to say. Well, you have this passive vocabulary, and if you don't speak, you just have no opportunity to start speaking and to start using your past vocabulary as well. And it is the only way. It's, I guess, writing and speaking, right? So, and we didn't do this much in primary school.
Yeah, yeah.
We were focusing on grammar. I was good at grammar in high school. I knew 10 tenses, I guess.
But you could do really well in tests, yeah? So that would be the driving force, right? That would be like something the teachers would praise you for and themselves for doing a great job teaching you English. But you see, I don't agree with this approach. I'm moving away from grammar these days. Mm-hmm. I still think it plays its part, but unfortunately it's overrated. Yeah. And I like the lexical approach a little bit more. You can basically learn grammar through vocabulary. Yeah. But anyway, that's for another podcast. So, and then as an adult, did you continue learning English?
Well, to finish this story, I have to mention also that I attending surprisingly high school as well.
Oh, wait, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Well, it is called gymnasium in our region, or we can say grammar school.
Same in my country. Yeah. Very similar to what they call in the UK grammar school, as you said. It's sort of a school for talented kids, let's say, and you will have all different subjects there, a wide selection of subjects, and sometimes too much pressure on you because too many subjects. Everyone wants you to do well. Every teacher thinks their subject is the most important one. And you are meant to go to university after you graduate from gymnasium. But it's confusing for English people or English speaking people, because gymnasium is actually gym, right? So it's a false friend. That's why we have to explain it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, gymnasium is a place where you work out basically, and it doesn't have much common when it comes to schools. But yeah, that's probably it's from Latin. I don't know.
Would make sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I graduated from high school, and English was put on hold. I didn't use much English at the time. After 3 years, I didn't go to university, even though I wanted to go, but I didn't get there. I wanted to study English, by the way, but I didn't get there. It was too many people.
Applicants.
Yes. Yep. And I was somewhere, I don't know where.
Below the line. Yep.
Yes, below the line. So later on, after 3 years of working, I started going to college, but I didn't study English. I studied social work, and by the time I was working already, so it was like I experienced tough times because it wasn't that easy to study and also to work at the same time. But
also you took a break, three year break.
Yes.
You know,
it's not easy to get back to school after 3 years of only working and not.
Although you could say it's only 3 years, some people can still pull it off after 10 years. But yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I had some colleagues, and they were in their 40s even. So you can imagine that gap.
Yeah.
From their high school school years and university or college years. Yeah, anyway, you know, so we can say that today English is ubiquitous, you know, and I found it out when I was traveling to the UK in 2020. It was my second time in the UK, and I had this story to share with you. I was talking to a shop assistant, a very nice person. She asked me several questions, like a small talk we had. But I didn't understand her, you know, even though she had that, nice approach to me. Because of her accent, a Manchester accent, which is very uncommon from
Mancunian accent. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. But my stepson, he understood her, but I didn't, and I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed because I considered myself as someone who was good at English.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I mean.
You have a lot of self-belief, and that was like a fall. That felt like a punch in the guts. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, that somehow woke me up,
mm-hmm.
and
that moment, that specific
that moment, yes,
it was like watershed moment for you.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. a nice expression, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So after coming back home, I dived into English so deeply, and since that, I have been with English every single day, you know. And
I can tell, and that's part of the reason I respect you, because I know from the Achievers Chamber, again, we're going to talk about it a little bit more later, but I know you. I know what kind of person and learner you are. You're very, very active, very responsible, and you just don't miss out an opportunity to speak English whenever you can, you know? And that's the right way. Not everyone can have that kind of approach. And but you, for you, I think it only goes to show that it's important for you. It matters to you. You consider English and being able to speak English well as a great value for yourself, I think, right?
I think you sum it up perfectly. Yes.
Thank you.
When it comes to my English. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, to continue, I remember myself that I got overwhelmed.
Yeah. In what sense?
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to keep up with everything because I missed a lot throughout years. I hadn't spoken English at all. Here and there I used English. I also had an interview in English and I passed that interview. It was a job interview. So, you know, but it wasn't enough, and after coming back home, I started attending the classes again. I went to a language school, and mm-hmm. I had to take this test that would say how good or how bad I am at English.
And it's called the placement test.
It's a placement test, yes.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you? I'm quite curious about this. So the way we would always do the placement test is just mainly grammar and vocabulary. Was it like that?
Yeah. Of course it was. You know, naturally, right? Yeah, it was. The placement test was all about grammar and, you know, grammar structures in English.
Oh,
and
words.
But I was prepared for that for some reason, right? So it didn't surprise me, and I nailed it, I guess, because I could go to the preparation class. So we were preparing for our final exams, and I started attending this class or this school back in October 2022.
Yeah.
No, 2021. And in June 2022, I took this test, and yeah, to like one school year, let's say.
So what would be the level you achieved at that point? So are we talking, I can only assume it would already be C1 level, or was it lower?
The test that I had to take, that I wanted to take, was to achieve, or in order to achieve C1 level. Yep. Yes. And so after that, I received a certificate that says that I'm C1 level.
Advanced.
Yes. In English. But sometimes I don't feel like that I am, because
you are.
Well, occasionally we can make mistakes, right?
Of course. Can make mistakes, and this is not proficiency level, right? We're not talking.
Not, yeah,
so
yeah.
After that, there is only one more level to go, and that's C2.
Yeah, and that's probably what I want to achieve as well at some point in my life. But I think that I'm getting there slowly.
You're almost there, I think. Yeah, you're very near. You could already be borderline, to be honest. It's really hard to measure this sometimes, you know, because the best thing you could do is probably take the IELTS test or the CPE exam.
I've been watching some videos related to IELTS exams, and there was a girl and she gained 9 points every aspect of IELTS exam.
Each part.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you need to get ready for it, you know, because it's a very structured.
It is. And believe me, like I've been teaching IELTS now. So there's so many aspects that you have to consider. And it's also about like, what kind of person are you when you're taking exams? For example, I get a little bit anxious, like not completely. And I think I'm better at this now. I think, for example, when it comes to speaking, I would probably be able to do my best. But it's been a journey. Eh? So I used to be a bit nervy and stuff like that. Yeah. So you have to manage your own sort of nerves as well.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is a nervous wrecking situation.
Nerve-wracking. Yeah, because the thing is, for me, it's the fact that I invest the money in it. Yes, for me, it's a lot of money. If I have to pay 6,000 Czech crowns, how much is that in euros? Maybe
200 euros, probably.
Well, it doesn't sound too bad when you say it like that. But like, it seems to be a lot of money, right? And then if you invest this kind of money, if you splash on like that, then you better do well, right, in the exam. So that is the main sort of stressor. I think that's a word. Yeah, the stressful factor for me.
That's right. Yeah, because when you invest into your education or in anything, to be honest, you don't want to lose, right? You just want to have something from it.
If it were only 50 euros, then I would be like, okay, well, I have nothing to lose. 50 euros, who cares about 50 euros? I can try to do it again if I fail. But since it's 200, or I don't know if it's 250 or 300 even, I'm not sure, it could be one of those. Mm-hmm. Then you are more like, ooh, I can't really take it again now. I would need to make more money or save up for it again.
You know what? The bright side is that you will always pass. You know, but the score is not what you wanna, you know, achieve when you're not good at English, right? So, but you will always pass. But you receive a low score,
low band, right? And you don't want that. So, I know what you mean. It's a diagnostic test, but it doesn't feel like you've passed, right? If you get a low score, I've taken the exam once. I did all right. I took it in 2017. Got 8 out of 9, but I was almost at 8.5. I needed was like half a point in writing, and
but so still very high score.
I had mixed feelings about this, because
really?
I know this opportunity.
I would be honored to have this score of yours.
Me too. I was happy on the one hand, but on the other hand, I knew that this opportunity had slipped through my fingers, because I could have had a C2. And instead, it's like the top level of C1. I think I am C2, but it's I don't have that proof. I would need to take the exam again. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely can say that you are C2. If I am C1, you have to be C2 then, right?
No, you're not too far away from me though. Like, you know, a lot of vocabulary that I don't know. For example, when we did the event, we did that event the other day, you used the word scatterbrained. I was like, what is that? I quickly had to Google it, not to embarrass myself.
No, that's normal. You know, we are not walking database. So
I thought you were going to say we are not walking dead. But yeah, I know what you mean. There's always something to learn, for sure. Okay, so this is your kind of background, but it gets even better. It gets even better. There is a point where you actually start teaching English as well, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yes, that was something that I found out that I could start teaching because I hold this master's degree in social work and also this certificate, and that allows me to teach English in Slovakia. And yeah, so as of November 2022, I started teaching English, and I moved to Bratislava, so I didn't stay in my hometown. And yeah, I went to try my luck. Can I say that?
I could also say you tried your hand at it. I would say, I would use that one. Try my luck, I guess. No, not sure if it applies here.
But you understood me, right?
Yeah, I don't know how you. Can you describe that feeling a little bit better to me? What do you mean? You tried your luck.
You can be lucky, or you can fail, right?
Oh, so, why would I don't understand why this would be about luck. I don't understand.
Because I could fail, and I would come back after several months. You know, like
I see what you. Yeah, I personally, I would use the phrase "I tried my hand" or "I gave it a go," because I wasn't. But for you, it was about confidence rather than sort of, because you had the qualifications. You see, I don't understand. So for you, it was more about convincing yourself that you can do this, because it's not easy to start teaching. It is not easy at all, right? That moment, that first moment when you stand in front of the class and you have to show what you can do, that can be really terrifying. It's a daunting experience. And I have even seen some blokes like almost 2 meters tall. There was one guy at the Celta course who just had a nervous breakdown because of lack of experience. Like the other teachers, they have taught here and there in the past, but for him it was his first time, and he couldn't do it. Like he was unable to continue teaching. You know, he had like a nervous breakdown. So it's not easy.
It's not for everybody, so I can get it.
Well, once you overcome this moment, usually like people are okay. But like this is a baptism by fire. It's called baptism by fire.
I'm not sure if I can use this term, that it was a turning point in my life, in my career. And seeing that I have been teaching.
Yeah. You never looked back.
I never looked back. And I quit. Well, I did, to be honest, I didn't quit my previous job. I was sacked. And yeah. And to be honest, it wasn't an easy situation to deal with, because I think, honestly speaking, I think that I was doing my job well.
Yeah,
I didn't have problems at work.
Were you just made redundant, or
you know what? Our government, the previous government, changed the law, so director so I could be fired just like that.
Reason.
And it happened to me. Yeah. And I consider it a political issue or
Yeah, because you were like what do you call it, public worker, right?
I worked
for servant.
I worked for a local office of labor, social affairs, and family. And I was working as a manager there. So I got this experience dealing with people. I supervised around 40 people, 40 employees.
That's, I'm sure that came in handy.
Supervisors under me as well. So I wasn't on my own in this. But yeah, it was, I had to deal with many problems. And to be honest, it was the best that could have happened to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah, a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Yes. And so I saw a silver lining in this.
This is an idiom episode. Like, how many have we used already?
I had to use it because you started with this.
It's like a battle. It's like one of those like rap battles, yeah, when you do like Eminem versus another rapper and we are just throwing in these idioms, like see who can do better.
Yeah.
No, but it all works, by the way. They are all used correctly.
You know, it all started throughout the pandemic.
Yep.
I wasn't feeling that I wanted to be there anymore. I was stuck in a rut. I wasn't able to be happy about my job anymore.
Yeah.
And but I didn't want to quit because I didn't want to lose my job.
It's income and, yeah,
my income and all. So my boss, he did it instead of me, which was, as we said, a blessing in disguise, because I was paid for another 2 months, even though I wasn't going to work. And I also received some money, like a benefit.
Is it called parachute money or something? There's a phrase.
I think so. A parachute money.
Parachute salary or something like that. Anyway, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. I don't recall the term now, but
we know what
we're talking about.
I think it is parachute salary. Yeah, I've just found it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, whatever. I don't want to be there anymore. I'm tired of this job, even though I think that I had a good relationship with co-workers and also other staff working there. But I think it was time to move on. I had this gut feeling, you know, that you need to do something else, something new. You need to just start from scratch sometimes.
Yeah.
So I completely dived into something new, to teaching. And seeing that.
So why teaching? Because it made sense, right? Because you already spoke good English, and you have had the experience of managing people. So I guess it all sort of came into place, right? It sort of made sense at that point.
It all fell into place, yeah. And I don't know why. I think it was partially because I wanted to keep up with my English.
Yeah.
And the way you can do it as well, even though your students don't have to be high level learners, but there's still something new, something that you can use, not only for your students, but also for yourself. The other day, I learned a new word that I probably knew, I somehow forgot it, and it was reptile, right? I completely forgot about this word. But if you are in the fifth grade or in the fourth grade, you are learning this stuff,
of course,
animals and stuff, right? So
yeah, so you can brush up, you know, English. Basically, you kind of learning with the kids, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So so it has its benefits, and that's why I like it. I have students with various levels of English. So I'm teaching 9 year old pupils, but also 14 year old pupils, and here I am now. I'm working in primary school nearby, so I came back home from Bratislava after one school year because I just wanted to do that. It was a great experience, and I think that it helped me to understand how it all works.
Did it did it live up to your expectations then, or because I'm sure you must have heard a lot about teaching at primary schools before you even made that decision to do it. Did you expect it exactly like that, or was it different in any way?
You know what? I expected that pupils would be less cheeky and rowdy.
Yeah. How naive of you.
I was, yeah. And it was something I didn't expect before, but you know, the more you are involved with them, the more you are getting used to it, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not a problem anymore. So yeah, of course, sometimes it is when someone is really cheeky and rowdy and not paying attention to what you want to teach them. That's a problem then. But I think I can deal with them, but it takes time. And sometimes I feel I'm repulsed by it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm not there to educate them how to behave, but also that's part of my job as well.
Yeah, absolutely is. And that's why I don't like it so much, teaching these little children. I prefer teaching teenagers and adults mainly. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with teenagers. Like, they, of course, they can also misbehave and they have their own quirks and specifics. But on the whole, I can deal with them. I struggle with the little ones. I'm just not suitable for that. You know,
it's
so,
a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Depends. Yeah. It depends on your personality. I know people who don't want to teach anyone else. They just love teaching these small ones. So it really depends on your preferences as a teacher as well, and what you're sort of cut out for.
Well, I still don't know.
You're very early into your career, right? So you're still discovering.
I can imagine myself teaching privately as well. Yeah. So far I have one student that I teach privately. I'm tutoring him, and it's been fun. I like it. Yeah. And it has this very different approach, right?
Yeah.
So because it is one-on-one session, so there's a whole another, or there is a different atmosphere
it's almost like a different job in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Because teaching a group, ladies and gentlemen, is different from teaching an individual student. A lot of things are just different. Right? Your full attention has to be on that student. Some people would say that actually, in some way, you have to sort of work harder. But then again, it doesn't maybe feel that exhausting having to deal and managing. Having to deal with the class and having to manage it, so it's a weird thing, because in some aspects it seems to be harder, in other aspects easier.
Yeah, you don't want to piss in the wind, right?
definitely not, Lucas. This is the last thing I want to do.
I had to use this one. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a great. Piss in the wind. So that would mean doing something useless, like futile,
yes.
Right?
There's no hope of succeeding, yeah.
Okay, I like it. Yeah.
So basically, I think that I want to continue. I want to teach those students. And I think that I also want to be a private tutor as well.
Yeah.
So I'm starting these paths as well, but I have only one student. But it doesn't really matter, because I have a regular job, and it's just, you know, something that I do for a friend of mine. So
yeah.
But yeah, later on I could do it, like, you know, more regular as a part-time job, because I don't wanna lose my current job, because it's a full-time job. It's like something stable that you have, a stable income.
Of course, yeah. I know what you mean. So how does the Achievers Chamber, the group I have for high-level English learners, how does that come into play then? You see, now I didn't make the mistake. Fall into place, as you corrected me correctly, you did a great job as a teacher, but come into play. I mix those two up. So Achievers Chamber, right? So you became a member, mm-hmm. I don't know, was it 2 years ago? You've been one of the first members. Not the founding fathers, really, but you joined soon after we created it, like 4 months later or 5 months later, something like that, I think. So you've been part of the furniture in the Achievers Chamber, I would say.
Oh, I'm not a skeleton in the furniture. Is it a skeleton in cupboard?
If you have a skeleton in your cupboard, it's something you have sort of some kind of a secret, right? It's like a secret about you.
Something
I'm sure you
don't
have
want to reveal because of,
yeah.
You know, something dark, like dark past.
Dark secret.
Yeah.
Isn't it skeleton in the closet?
I'm Let not sure to be honest.
I think it is. Yeah.
In somewhere.
Yeah. Skeleton in the closet. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Skeleton in. It's the same thing, essentially.
Anyway.
Two English teachers. What do you expect, listeners? Two English teachers. We're just going to end up correcting each other and analyzing and picking apart all these idioms and nerds. Two nerds.
Well, I love idioms, but you know there are plenty of them, and you can butcher them very easily.
Butcher.
Yeah.
To be honest, sometimes people overrate them, right? You give it too much importance. Like it's kind of cool. It's like this cool thing. If you can pull it off, you feel like you're on the top of the world, right? Top of the world, right? You're really proud of yourself, right? And it sort of makes you sound more natural. However, it's a double-edged sword, Lucas, because if you overdo it, it's gonna have the polar opposite effect.
It doesn't pay off because
now
I screwed it. You know, I didn't use it in a correct way because it's a skeleton in closet.
It's
you know,
fine. It's almost
it doesn't really matter to me. I also want to point out that if you are fluent, if you are someone who likes speaking, it doesn't really matter how often you are about to use those idioms in English, because there you have a lot of teachers, a lot of tutors, a lot of online teachers,
yeah,
you can call them YouTubers as well.
Yeah,
they don't use many idioms in their speeches or in what they want to talk about. I know this man, Steve Kaufman. He is a Canadian, and he has a very nice approach of how to learn a new language, and it is basically through a lot of input, reading. And also, what else? Basically, it's reading and listening. But let's back to the topic you were about to outline, and it is the Achievers Chamber group that you are a boss of. And
I happen to run it. Yeah.
Yes, you are in charge, right? So that's fact. That's a fact.
Yeah. I wanted to sound a little bit more humble than I'm the boss of it. It sounds a bit too self-important. I happen to run it. Yeah.
Okay, that's your point of view. I get it. So shortly after my graduation in 2022, I guess it was, I found this online group, and I became a member. And I heard this online group. I think it was on Luke's English podcast.
I actually remember it better than you, I think, but perhaps you will.
Am I right then?
you will prove me wrong. I think you are wrong.
Really?
I believe you discovered me through Level Up English podcast, through the Level Up English podcast.
It was one of those two.
Because it's your favorite. Isn't it your favorite podcast, the Level Up English podcast? Or did you listen to both at the same time?
Yeah. Someone is calling you.
Someone is calling me on Skype. I've just realized that I have to teach an English lesson. So we have about 5 minutes. I'm going to say I will be 5 minutes late, yeah?
All right, then, yeah. So, yeah, I found this group. It was probably, as you said, through the Level Up English.
Yeah.
But also I remember that you were on Luke's English podcast as well. I do remember that. And I was wondering who you were, like the Czech man.
Who is this? Who is this weirdo? Who is
podcast?
Who is this weirdo?
Perfectly. I was like, oh, come on. And talking about football all the time. I was like, oh my goodness. So yeah. And then I texted you a short message. I think it was via Instagram, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, yeah. I think it is. And I want to also point out that it has helped me a lot. I mean, this group somehow helped me to skyrocket my English.
But I think it's all about you. I just want to say that you are a living proof for me. For like, no matter how much money you invest into something or if you pay for the best teacher in the world, 90% of work is really up to you. And for me, the main, I'm really happy that I could be part of this, right? That it's my group. I'm proud. But at the same time, like it's all you, because you are very active there. We have some members who only join once a month or twice a week. They probably don't have time and they have a lot of things in their life. So I completely get it. But the way you approach it is like you join almost every single thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you become worried if I don't, right?
Yes.
Me, are you okay? Is everything fine? You know, when I take a week off. So.
Oh, where is Lucas? Where is he? Anyway, Lucas, I'm really happy that you are a member and you have your own event. We call the sessions there lessons, if you want. The group events. We call it events because it's just, I guess, more friendly. It's a friendly term because if you hear lesson, it sounds a bit too
formal, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has a negative connotation. So, I suppose. Well, anyway, Lucas, I think we have to wrap it up. I'm really sorry. I completely forgot about my private lesson, and I'll have to make amends now and find some excuses too. So it's been a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. And thank you for telling us your story. And if anyone wants to get to know you, the best way they can do it is, of course, through the Achievers Chamber, because you can find more information about it on my website, teachersdenek.com. And it's really easy to join. And I will show you the rope if you are new to Discord, which is the platform we use. And you can follow in Lucas's footsteps. Why not?
It's my pleasure as well, and thank you for this opportunity to speak about English together. And I do appreciate your work and how you run your online Discord group. I like the way you're approaching things there, and then you can hear us about what we want to have there, right?
Also
gave me that opportunity to have my own event, so I'm grateful.
To be honest, I'm even thinking of getting you involved a little bit more, but let's talk about that in private.
All right.
I have to go now. Thank you very much for watching. If you've been watching this on the YouTube channel, please don't forget to give us a like as well, and that's that. Anyway, take care, Lukas, and speak to you soon.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot for listening. For more information, visit my new website, teachersdenek.com, where you can find out about my speaking group for high-level English learners called the Achievers Chamber, and download my free course, Unlocking Your English Potential, 8 Secrets to Fluency. That's teachersdenek.com.